guest at the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico here in Southern California. Here, then, is Mr. Henry.
Thank you very much, General, and welcome to our program. We have a guy that we haven't talked to in a long time. We've got Paul Tubby Lane, right, bud?
Yeah, we got Paul Tubby Lane. He's a retired NASCAR driver, but he's going to give us the benefit of his wisdom.
What is he going to talk about?
Well, Paul lives in Florida. It's interesting talking to him because he's a rather religious guy, but he's about, I don't know, man, he's about had it.
What do you mean?
Well, he just thinks that being religious and praying and all that stuff ain't done squat for him because every year his house gets flattened.
Oh, yeah, by another hurricane.
Oh, so he's blaming God for that.
I don't know. He just says, you know, he gets on his knees and he prays until he, as he said to me in the email, where is it, bud?
Right here.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I get on my knees, I pray until I bleed from the ass. He said that.
Oh, come on. He did not say that.
Yes, he did. I said, can I quote you? He said, yes.
Jesus.
Yeah. He said, I pray until I bleed from the ass. Next thing you know, my house is flattened by a hurricane.
And why do you find that funny?
I don't know. I just...
Yeah, see, want to know why Paul Tubby Lane is suffering? Because you think it's a big laugh.
Oh, that's why. That's exactly why hurricanes hit his house.
Mr. Henry, you went, oh, that's right.
What about it?
You wanted to say, oh, that's right.
How about if I kick...
Hold on, Phil. Wait a minute.
Kick your ass, bud.
Get out of here, bud.
What are you talking about?
Get out of here.
Anyway, it's okay, bud. Get in here.
God damn, man. It's really losing their sense of humor.
We're trying to get this thing going, okay?
I just want to talk. So Paul said that, and I'm like, well, you know, do you want to come on the show? He goes, okay, to talk about it. So Paul Tubby Lane's going to be with us here in just a few minutes. Former NASCAR driver. You know, this cat is a sportsman and is from the South. Where is he from, General?
I think he's from Alabama. I think he's like from, was that Hueytown?
What?
Hueytown.
What's Hueytown?
The name of a town in Alabama?
Okay, Mr. Henry,
that's what it is. What do you want to...
What I mean, so it was named after a guy named Huey?
I guess, yeah.
What's the problem, Bud?
Well, they usually name a town after a guy's last name. It would be like calling it Budtown.
Maybe that is the cat's last name.
Jesus. Bud, maybe that is the guy's last name.
Huey.
Yes.
God, General.
Yes!
Well, what do you find so unusual about that?
I've never heard of a guy's last name. It sounds like they named a guy Huey, and they go, hey, let's live here and call it Hueytown, where Huey's going to be.
Anyway, he'll be with us, and I think they own like a 30,000-square-foot garage down there. It's a pretty impressive operation, but I think Paul is retired pretty much. But he will talk to us about being on his knees, praying. I won't quote that anymore.
I don't think you need to.
All right, but he's on his knees praying, and even though he's praying, his house gets flattened by a tornado in three different, or excuse me, a hurricane in three different towns. I don't know. Before we get going, I wanted to just give you guys an update. The crew here, I told you guys about the, you know, the car drifting.
Yeah, so Phil was telling us that he got his car back from the shop where he had the body shop.
Right.
And suddenly his car was drifting. He was having to get a hold of the wheel and pull it back into the lane. It was kind of scary.
It felt like the steering was going on the car. And the first thing that I thought was, well, I've been in a rental car for 2 months. Maybe I'm, and it was a little Tiguan. It was a Volkswagen Tiguan. That was the rental that I had. And I was thinking, well, maybe I'm just used to a smaller car. And this bigger car, I don't know, maybe I'm not used to driving my own car. It's been 2 months. So, you know.
Yeah, so Phil's driving along in this thing. It keeps pulling to the right, pulling to the left. And what did you notice today?
Today I noticed, and I don't know why I hadn't noticed it before, the car would pull to the right, and then I would see the graphic come up, if you will, a warning come up on the screen right there on the dash that I was drifting off the road onto the right shoulder. That was literally, you'd see the lane, and then you'd see the right shoulder turn red. This was in a sort of a representation on the dashboard.
Right.
So I'm like, what the hell, man, is going on here? And what happened was, and this had been, you know, I got the car back on Friday. So I've had it back over the weekend. I've only been driving it a few times. Every time I took it out, I'd be driving fine. And then all of a sudden, I feel the car kind of overcorrect.
So the car is almost like it's on autopilot.
Kind of like, yeah. So I'm like, what the hell is this? I got on the phone. I'm talking to Jackie. She figured it out. She goes, you probably have some kind of a, it wasn't autopilot, but she said, you probably have something, a setting that they bumped at the shop that makes the car overcorrect or correct or do something in terms of the steering that is automatic. And I said, you got to be kidding me, man. That sounds like the most dangerous goddamn thing I've ever heard of in my life. And she was right. It turns out she was right, because as I went through the manual, and what do I know, man? I don't use pilot assist or any of that shit. I'm not using, I don't put the car on autopilot or speed control or whatever that shit is. I don't do any of that, man. I just drive the damn car. And I have for years and years and years and years and years. And so I look, and it has this thing called lane assist on a Jaguar. Lane assist.
And this is what? It keeps you going straight.
You got to be kidding me. Some people are so stupid. They don't know how to keep it straight.
Apparently, yeah. Apparently, the people are, I wouldn't call it stupid. I don't know what their fucking problem is. But some people, excuse my language.
No, I just think that when you throw that F word around, people just think you're doing it gratuitously.
I'm sorry, folks. I think there's some people that are so dumb. I don't know, man. I mean, why would anybody need that?
I don't know. So what does it do?
So this lane assist thing had been enabled at the body shop, obviously by mistake. Or one of the guys took the car out to drive and decided to engage it and forgot to unengage it. Maybe he was concentrating on something else, so he wanted to make sure that he had this. I don't know what was going on. But when I got the car back and I'm driving it, and I feel it, the wheel, it felt to me like the steering was going on it. And it kind of scared me. I thought maybe I was losing the steering, the car was going to finally, was going to give out, and I'd be on the freeway, and that's the end of Phil, you know. So, I mean, I called up Jaguar. I said, I'm going to bring the car in. It's due for its service. I said, but I got some other things I want you to look at. And he said, okay. So I was going to take surface streets out to Thousand Oaks. Now, Phil lives in Ventura County, taking surface streets to I mean, it's not that far, but I mean, you'd be like,
yeah, I was saying, you'd be going like back roads across farm country and stuff.
Maybe. So what about it?
I don't know. Doesn't seem that you should do that.
Why not?
I mean, he's Phil Hendry. He's going to be driving farmland.
Who gives a shit? Anyway, but who cares?
I just don't think it's, you know, anything you want to do. If you get stranded out there.
I'm Phil Hendry. I'm Phil Hendry. I shouldn't be driving in farmland because I might get stranded.
Yeah, okay, forget it then. Well, what are you worried about, bud? I just think that if Mr. Hendry's stranded out in farm country and a farmer comes along, I don't know. It reminds me, I'm sorry to say this, Mr. Gray, like of a deliverance kind of thing.
You gotta be kidding me.
No, I'm not.
But this is not the backwoods. He'd be, yes, in farm country, very close to a freeway, right, Phil?
Probably, yeah, bud. So I wouldn't be waylaid by farmers and dragged off where, to the silo?
Yes, I don't know. The guy would have, you know, put a diaper on you.
Okay, this conversation's over. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Where was I?
You were being manhandled by a farmer.
No, I'm...
You're... Oh, that's right. You're checking on the lane assist.
The lane assist. The lane assist. Like the lowest... If it said lowest lane assist, it would have made more sense.
Who's he?
It's a she. Hey, I'm going to tell you.
But why don't you take a walk? All right, I'm sorry.
It was this thing that apparently, for whatever reason, is enabled and is available to you in certain cars, where you may be driving, but maybe you're not all that bright and you don't know your car is drifting across a line and you haven't used the turn signal. I think that the excuse they give is that you're drifting across a marked part of the roadway and you haven't used a signal. Now, I don't know. Yes, using a signal is very important. I always use my signal. I see a lot of people these days don't. There's a lot of morons. I don't know. But in order to remind you to use a signal, the car will correct the other way. In other words, you want to move, let's say go left across a line, and you haven't used a signal, the car will sort of correct back.
So the car is fighting you.
I don't know. I don't know what it's doing. That wasn't my problem, but apparently, according to the manual, that was the thing. My problem was I would drift right. Maybe, I don't know, and all of a sudden this big red thing comes up, like I'm going off the road, which I wasn't. And the car would correct in my hands. I would feel it shift back over to the left. It was my thinking at the time when that was happening that the car was losing its steering or that I was just not used to how the car felt. I'd been away from it for 2 months or that the road was in some way. I was always telling Jackie, I was on the phone with her. I said, I think there's something wrong with the road. I think there's maybe it dips here or it slopes or something. And finally, it happened to the point I was off going to Sprouts. I was getting some cat food, all kinds of bullshit. And I finally told her, I said, it got really bad. I'm going to take it in. And I call up the shop and I tell these guys, and they said, we could walk it in, Mr. Henry, because we don't have any appointments available. You can come in with it and just drop it off. I said, okay, fine. And she, that's when she says to me, you know, when she had a Camry or something, it had some kind of, she said, it's got this kind of autopilot shit that goes on. You know, where the car will overcorrect, or it will correct while you're driving. I said, you're kidding. She goes, no. And I glanced down and I looked on the steering wheel and I saw a symbol that looked like literally a road driving off to the horizon. So you know how there were two lines that kind of came together at a point that was supposedly the horizon. And that's the lane assist. That got me to thinking. So when I got the manual, I pulled out the manual. That's exactly what it was called, lane assist. And it said, I wish I had it right now, but the quote was beautiful. In fact, here's the quote. This quote just, it was exactly what was going on. It kind of pissed me off. Quote says, it applies an opposing corrective steering input.
What?
Yeah. That's their way of saying the car takes over the steering from you for a while and tells you to go over here, not over there. And I'm like, you got to be bullshitting me. That's the most dangerous damn thing I've ever seen in my life. So the car was literally, when you were going one way, the car would push it back the other way? Yeah, and in a kind of a radical, I wouldn't say it was a very gentle way. It would just, all of a sudden, it felt like I was losing the steering in a car. Now, some people may say, you know what, Henry, you got to get more familiar with your automobiles, and maybe I should, I don't know, but I don't use that shit. And that was engaged by those clowns at the body shop. For whatever reason, by mistake, they're going to say they didn't do it. I'm not going to tell you what body shop. I'm not going to go. I'm not even taking it to them. I'm going to stay away from those guys. Next time I have any need of any kind of body work, it ain't going there. But the point that I'm trying to make here is there's no question in my mind that some clown was in my car and enabled that. And I get the car back. And after two GD months of waiting around for this thing, and it feels like I'm going to lose the steering. I was going to take it over to Jaguar tomorrow, and I wasn't going to, like I said, I wasn't going to take the freeway.
So how's it driving now?
It drives fine now because I disengaged that damn lane assist. I'll take it out a little bit more tomorrow, you know, but that was the problem. So there you go.
All right, yeah.
All right, where is he?
I got Paul Tubby Lane coming up.
We got Paul Lane coming up. Might as well take a break. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, this is Ward Nuxley inviting you to get a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Take it from me, Wade Nuxley. A world-famous Phil Hendry Show backstage pass will put a smile on your face, will make you just do things easier. Life will come to you easier. You'll get into your pants easier. You'll get out of your pants easier. You'll enjoy food. You'll slip into an automobile and slip out again. You'll slide. Wherever you go, people will barely notice you. You'll slip in, slide out. You'll barely make a sound, and you'll just turn up at meetings, and people will go, holy Christ, where'd you come from?
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show can do all of that and more for you. Get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. Less than $10 for 1 month, less than $7 a month if you get a subscription for an entire year. So why would you get a subscription for 1 month? Well, it sounds like I'm trying to talk you out of it. No, get a subscription for a month or less than a year, whatever you want to do, or for a year, at philhenryshow.com. You'll enjoy it. You'll love it no end.
This is Wink Nuxley, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, the greatest value online other than porn.
And welcome, everyone, back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We haven't talked to Paul Tubby Lane in quite some time. Paul is, as Phil indicated, a race car driver, and now I think he's an owner. Let's get Paul on the line here from Hueytown, Alabama. Paul, how are you?
It's great. How are you? It's great to talk with you. I haven't spoken to you specifically in a long time.
Well, Phil's here, but he is letting me sort of kick this off. We want to talk to you, Paul, about your not just your racing career, but the problems you and the family have had recently with your homes in Florida.
That is correct, yeah.
Paul, you got hit by Hurricane Ian when you had a home in Naples.
We had a town home in Naples, myself and Nadine. The kids are all grown and pretty much out of the house. We have Stuart, who is attending junior college right now, staying with us. Where we are right now is we're back in Hueytown.
So you're back in Alabama, where you essentially began your life, but you were living in Florida.
We were living in Florida for about 3 or 4 years, and it was interesting because I had a run of success. We were doing well. We won some regional races and won a regional cup, and I started to get into team ownership, and we got to mention a garage here in Hueytown, about 30,000 square feet. And suddenly, we had the townhome in Naples, and here comes Hurricane Ian, and pretty much just gutted it. We had a sofa left. I think we had the bathroom was fine.
You're kidding. I mean, what happened? So everything got destroyed?
Well, everything just got soaked and out on the drive. I came home, and I'd been up in Massachusetts. I came home, and I saw everything was out on the driveway. And in the street, some of it in the neighbor's yard.
This was your townhouse in where?
This was in Naples.
Oh, so this is Hurricane Ian.
Yeah.
Okay, then the following year was what?
Well, in last year, we moved up to Tampa, bought a home over there in Safety Harbor.
I know where it is.
Yeah, and so then come something, hurricane there, name was Idalia or Idalita or something. Nadine, what was the name of that hurricane? Yeah, and that thing came through and destroyed everything that we had.
You're kidding, Paul.
No, I'm not kidding. And then, of course, this year we had Milton.
Where were you? And so you got hit by Milton.
Yeah, we moved down to Sarasota.
Now, I understand, Paul, you keep moving. You're moving basically along the same coast.
Well, yeah. I mean, we like the west coast of Florida. We love Naples. And we like the Tampa, St. Pete area, and it was never been a problem for us. We just enjoy that part of there's good boating and good fishing over there. We just enjoyed that part of the state. But all of a sudden, we get hit with three hurricanes, and everything that I've ever dreamed of.
That's pretty rough.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned that you're a very religious man.
Well, that's the thing that I wanted to mention to you and to your listeners. I am very religious. I spend a lot of time praying and trying to do what's right, trying to do the right things in life. I wasn't always that way. I was a man who I gave into a lot of excess. I was not faithful to my wife. Nadine knows all of this. And I lived the high life that you live when you're a successful race driver or any kind of an athlete.
Of course.
So when you say, of course, what do you mean?
I mean, I understand what you're talking about.
Okay, so...
Not that Phil would do anything like that. All right, thank you. Go ahead.
So, yeah, I am very... As a result of that, I spend a lot of time praying and thanking God for what I have, and then comes a hurricane, and it feels like God has decided to take just a bucket of garbage.
Well, I don't think you can be quite like that, Paul.
Why not?
Well, because I don't think God's not doing that to you. There's a lot of people that are suffering.
Well, but...
So are you having like a crisis of faith or something?
In a way, I am. You know, I like I said, and I've said this to you many times, Mr. Henry, you know, and I've always, you know, believed, and...
There's a lot of people that are very, very happy even through the difficulty of something like this. You know that.
Yeah, that's a good way of rationalizing it. But I get on my knees and pray every night so that I can come home to a home that doesn't look like a garbage dump. And that's what God has done to me.
Now you got to watch for that. That's what God's done to you.
Why not? Why do I have to watch it?
Well, look, hold on for a minute. If you're, I don't want to talk you out of anything, and I'm not going to talk you into anything. You believe what you believe. But you're saying God's doing this to you.
I'm a very religious man. I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray. And
well, when you say you pray and you pray and you pray, what are you praying for, Paul?
I'm praying for a healthy family. I'm praying for a safe family. I'm praying for success in business. I'm praying for everybody's good health. And I pray for all those things. And like I said, I came home I came home last week. We've been up in Massachusetts for some qualifying. And I came home, and it was as if God said, thank you for praying, and here, let me take a bucket of garbage and throw it in your face.
It sounds like you're angry.
I wouldn't say that I'm angry. I'm not going to be angry with God, but
Well, what you're talking about here, Paul, is you're doing all these things to be a good man, hoping that that will redound in your favor, that good things will happen.
Exactly, yes. And what happens is, and this happened 2 years ago when we had Ian. I was down in Naples. At that time, Nadine and I had purchased a beautiful condo. It was about a $700,000 condo. I came back from racing. It looked like a bomb had gone off. The whole area that we lived in Naples, it looked like a bomb, Mr. Henry. I mean, not an atomic bomb, but it looked like there'd been a bombing run, like a bombers came in from another country and dropped bombs and blew everything to hell and back. And I looked at our beautiful home, and it looked like it wasn't even a home anymore. It had been bombed. And
you feel like God did that to you?
No, I don't feel like God did that to me. I feel like what God said was basically, you know, you're a good man, Paul, so I think you can handle this. And God took a big boot and stepped right on my house.
All right, so God's being sort of sadistic.
I don't know.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't let your beliefs go that way, man, that God's being a sadist, that he's just...
It feels like he's seeing, okay, let's see if he can take this. I just dumped a bucket of garbage all over him. Okay, all kind and everything that you could call, you know what I'm saying, when I say that God put a bucket of garbage, I mean garbage, when God put a ducket of garbage...
When God threw a bucket of garbage...
When God threw a bucket of garbage on me, it was filthy. It was filth from under the sink.
Okay, so it was pretty rough.
Yeah, it was very rough.
It rougher than what you think you deserve.
Very much so, yes, sir.
Now comes Ian, and that was last year, right? Was it 2 years ago?
Ian was 2 years ago. This other one, Idalia or Idalphia or something, that was last year. And then here comes Milton, you know.
All right, so Hurricane Milton, where are you guys then?
Sarasota.
Oh, my God, you moved to the worst possible places you moved to.
What do you want from me? I mean, what am I supposed to do? I'm looking at a home, a place that we've called home for a lot of years.
All right, well, Sarasota was ground zero, man, for Milton.
So I found out.
Were you and Nadine at home?
No, we were not. We were gone, and Stevie was with friends in Colorado. We're on the West Coast, actually, in California, Pomona. And the word comes down that Milton's coming through. And I said to my wife, we got on the plane, I said, you know something, I'm going to say a prayer that when we get back and when we get to our home, it'll be standing and it will be, you know, God will have spared us.
And when you got home, what?
When I got home, it wasn't recognizable as a home. It looked more like a shack where dead people...
You're kidding.
No.
So I think what you're telling me, Paul, here is that you pray and pray and pray and pray. 3 years running, the answer to your prayers has been your home has been turned into garbage.
One occasion, God dumped garbage on it. The other occasion, he stepped on it with a gigantic God foot. And this one, it looks like God smoking a cigar and decided he would butt the cigar right on top.
Right on top of your house?
Yes, sir. So,
well, what is the effect? I think the most important question here, Paul, is what's the effect on you?
Well, why would you say that? What's the most important question is how do I keep this from happening?
Well, here's one thing you can do: move.
Yeah, what about that? Like, don't you live in Florida?
Because I'll tell you why. Because if I'm praying, and I'm praying and praying and praying and praying, okay.
Okay.
And God answers my prayer by taking a.
You really need to watch that, okay? That would be considered blasphemous.
I'm sorry, but by he answers my prayer though by messing all over me. And
well, it seems as if you're a religious man.
I'm a very religious man. Yeah, and yes, of course, I'm praying that the home will be safe. I prayed during this Hurricane Ian. I hope my home's safe. During the Hurricane Idalia, I hope my home's safe. During Hurricane Milton, I hope the home's safe. And each time God threw a bucket of filth, he stepped on it. I mean, and with Milton, God, it's like he just, I don't know, it looked like he took a shit.
Okay, you're not going to win any friends.
Look at Mr. Henry, I'm the one who has lost three homes in 3 years, even after I get on my knees and pray to God, please, God, Please protect my home.
Okay, you're asking questions I can't answer, and I don't think anybody can. All right, I mean, I know...
You say you follow Buddhism. What do you call that?
I'm not about to tell you, man. I mean, I will just say that there's a thing called karma, and...
Well, okay, so I deserve this?
I didn't say that, man. I'm just saying that there's cause and effect in our lives, all right? I didn't say you deserve it. I just said that that's one explanation. I don't know that is the explanation. I mean, there's a lot of explanations, bro. I mean, some of the shit you, excuse me for saying, maybe you should have been prepared for.
Oh, wait a second, Phil. That's being a little harsh.
God damn. You're saying this stuff is my fault?
I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm just saying, is there something you might have done that you didn't do? Something you could have done that you didn't do? Some ways, you know, were there precautions you could have taken, Paul?
I was on my knees praying to God, okay?
I understand that.
And he took a slop jar and poured it all over. And then the Hurricane Ian's the same thing. He took one of his slop jars. And then here, this last one, Hurricane Milton, where he butted a cigar on my home, put his slop jar on it.
All right, so you feel you're being targeted by God.
I think I am, yeah. Because each time he's about to carry out his slop jars, he decides, you know what, I don't need to carry him to the street. I can dump him on Paul's house. Goodbye. Fucking.
Hey, watch it, Paul.
I don't need to be talked to like that, Mr. Henry.
I'm sorry, dude. The way you put things is kind of funny.
Oh, you're sorry, huh? Is your home still standing?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and when you get those California fires, do you worry about it burning down?
No, I don't.
What?
Why not? Why not, Phil? Because I don't live near fire country. I live at the damn ocean.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're a big movie star and stuff.
No, I'm not, man. I don't live in that... Hey, I don't live that high in the hog. I just don't live in fire country.
Well, what are you saying? You saying it's my fault?
Yeah, it is your fault, kind of, Mr. Lane, because you keep insisting on moving back to hurricane country. Why don't you go to Hueytown?
Hueytown's in the middle of hurricane. Hueytown's in Alabama.
Do they? I don't even remember Hueytown ever being hit with a hurricane, although I'm sure it has been.
Yeah, but I don't want to go to a town. Hueytown is where we have our garage. It's where we set up our business. I don't want to have to tell people, yeah, hey, come to my house in Hueytown.
Well, it's better than, hey, come to my house that's been... Come to my house that God emptied a slop jar on.
Fucking assholes, man. I tell you...
Get him flying right.
Mr. Lane, yeah. Mr. Henry got pissed off. I mean, he got pissed off. Yeah.
I got some spare slop jars. Give me the phone, will you? Hey, Paul, what's the story?
I apologize, Mr. Henry. I really do. I just... It has been a very stressful time for all of us, and
I understand.
But I what I want to do is thank you very, very much for... Hold on for just a minute, will you?
I'm good.
Yeah, can I get a... I'm sorry, Phil.
Go ahead. I'm going to let you go ahead and get your order.
Hey, can I get a... I want to get a jumbo jack, okay?
All right.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, give me a root beer.
All right, you're closing at 7:47. Thank you.
You got it. But, Mr. Henry, I just would simply say that this has been for me a very tough, tough time.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to let you go, man, because it sounds like you went around again.
Yeah, I went around. I'm sorry, I already ordered from you, okay?
All right.
Yeah, I ordered from you.
Anything
else? Yeah, the thing I ordered from you, bitch.
All right, you're closing at 7:47.
You look very disturbed. Yeah, I'm disturbed.
Why?
I don't know, man. I just, you know, he's obviously upset. I think we should have interviewed him at a time when he was a little less emotional and perhaps making a little more sense.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, we got him. You said you want to talk to him as soon as he's available.
Yeah, I did, but it seems like he's still affected by what happened to his house. He sounds angry. He doesn't
sound like he's thinking straight, because he's talking about loving God and praying to God. And then God dumped a slop jar on his house.
Well, he feels victimized.
Yeah, I mean, I would too.
Okay, he feels victimized. What do you want me to do? What can we possibly say to him? This is a religious question I'm not prepared to answer.
Why not?
Because I'm not a religious guy, man. I'm not a, you know, this cat is saying, I pray and I pray and I pray, and then God dumps a slop jar on my house with a hurricane. What do you want me to say?
You said it was like karma.
I forget it, man. You know, I hope things work out for you, Paul. I'll tell you this much. I thought my car was going to kill me today. I thought my car's steering was going out. I thought that my automobile was going to go flying off a cliff with me in it, and I come to find out that it was actually a setting that was set wrong on the car. So I did some investigation, I figured it out, and now the car is fixed. And I, Paul, if you're still listening, even after dropping the F-bomb, I would say do some investigation. Maybe what Bud said and what the general said, maybe it's time to move out of Florida, man, and not live there.
You're going to get a lot of people angry. You have a lot of friends in Florida.
Why not? What did I just say that doesn't make sense? Why live in a state where your ass is getting kicked every year with this shit?
Yeah, a lot of people say, why do you live in California? The earthquakes.
Are you kidding me or something? Earthquakes? We have an earthquake a couple times a year, and they last 10 seconds, and everything's fine. I mean, if we get the big one, we get the big one. Everybody's talking about the big one.
What do you mean the big one?
The big earthquake that sends California crashing into the ocean.
What?
Read a book or something, will you, bud? Anyway, my advice, if you live in Florida, don't live in Florida. And I love Florida.
You just love a girl that's in Florida.
True.
Well, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. That's it, huh?
Yeah, that's it. It's just we got Paul Tubby Lane and me talking about whatever that was.
Auto cruise or auto control your car. Yeah.
And also this great song where...
Anyway, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, podcast one.
Gag, man.
You're in a hurry.